Thanks for downloading this podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be rebroadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by searching iTunes for Radio Le Mans or visiting radiolemans.com.
Live from Trackside, this is IMSA Radio.
Hello everybody and welcome along to a special programme here on IMSA Radio. My name's John Hindhoff and we are getting ready for John Doonan and the state of the sport which is coming from Daytona. John's just come up a little bit early, so let's cross over and hear what he's got to say right now.
And Michelin. What these two organizations have done to bring stability and foundational support to our sport here at IMSA has been remarkable. To David and Cooper McNeil and the entire WeatherTech staff, please accept our sincere appreciation for your support and willingness to continue on this journey with us and what you have done for our sport, so many of our facilities, and so many of our events. It was only fitting to have IMSA's return to racing take place here in Daytona on July 4th, carrying your Made in the USA brand's name on the event, and a very fitting way to further acknowledge our long-standing and many years of partnership together. Thank you for stepping up big time in these extra challenging times and for using IMSA to tell the WeatherTech story. To our terrific partners at Michelin, we sincerely thank you for your dedication to our sport and for using IMSA as a technological laboratory for your terrific products. From your technical staff, who went to great lengths to make sure there was enough tire inventory after factory closures worldwide, to your at-track staff, who consistently support and advise our competitors, to your marketing communications team, who has continued to work directly with us to develop creative ideas and strategies that create deeper reach and storytelling opportunities. Each of you have become part of the thread of IMSA, and we're so grateful for how you've leveraged our racing to bring further value to your brand. Your support of the Michelin GT Challenge at VIR and our most recent events at Michelin Raceway Road Atlanta are just two of the many highlights of the 2020 season. Thank you to so many of our race event promoter partners who have hosted us in 2020, and we look forward to seeing many of you before the 2020 championship comes to a close. A special welcome and thanks to Marcus Smith, Greg Walter, and the team at Charlotte Motor Speedway for accommodating us when we needed another event to finish out the championship. Highlighted by NBC Network open and close for the Rolex 24 at Daytona, IMSA is experiencing tremendous television viewership growth here in 2020. 336,000 average viewers per race year-to-date have tuned in to watch our racing action. In total, 3.6 million unique TV viewers have tuned in to watch IMSA action. In addition to very strong audiences in our television broadcasts, engagement from our fans through social media is, in many categories, at an all-time high at this point in the season. It is clear that our followers were hungry for IMSA to be back on track as soon as it was possible in 2020, and they continue to take in our wide range of videos and posts in record numbers. On top of growing television audiences and incredible engagement from our fans socially, the redesigned IMSA.com site has become the place to go for sports car racing fans, and the numbers show it. We are now just past halfway in the 2020 calendar. While we had to recast the schedule far more than we had hoped, all of you, our stakeholders, have stepped up and hung in there with us over and over again. As we look back at what has been accomplished in the first half of our championship, and with the very tight points races developing, we can only imagine what's in store for the remainder of this year, setting us up for an exciting finish and serving as a springboard into 2021.
Green flag,
let's go!
There's going to be some serious action here.
A new C8 off.
Sleep is for the weak.
Checkered flag, Kobayashi! Fantastic, guys.
We've waited 5 months for sports car racing. It's the IMSA WeatherTech 240 from Daytona. Mazda has won!
Unbelievable.
Corvette, win number 100. Lexus, winners in IMSA. Sebring International.
A lot of traffic there. Oh, I can't tear myself away.
We're doing it, boy!
Felipe Nasr brings it home!
Unbelievable stuff. Two in a row for Lexus. Road America. You may have a full seat. You're only going to need the edge of it. It is the survival of the fittest at the moment.
Man, I'm driving my tippy toes. Bring it to the checkers.
It is the Michelin GT Challenge. Wow! Coming to the checkered flag then.
Corvette Racing, four in a row on the season.
Bill Oberlin drives into history.
Michelin Pilot Challenge.
They rock.
That is awesome racing.
Unbelievable stuff.
IMSA Prototype Challenge. Great looking set of LMP3 cars.
Certainly some excitement and some great racing. Lamborghini Super Trofeo North American Championship.
V10 engined Lamborghinis ready to do battle
on the curbing.
It is the Porsche GT3 Cup Challenge USA by Yokohama.
That was awesome.
Another tremendous benefit and treasure of the unusual season we've experienced in 2020 is the IMSA iRacing Pro Series. From the very date that the original Mobile One 12 Hours of Sebring was to take place in March, through to the end of June, IMSA drivers from all over the world, IMSA's corporate partners, our friends at iRacing, and hundreds of thousands of fans came together to make a dream come true in many ways. As a result, we're thrilled today to be able to announce the all-new IMSA iRacing Triple Crown Challenge. This challenge is open to all iRacing members. It's a three-race bi-weekly schedule starting October 11th and features some of the best content in IMSA racing, highlighted by the newly launched Corvette C8R. IMSA is also available in Project Cars 3, the third installment of the Project Cars series, available for PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. I'm pleased now to be able to share with you the provisional 2021 IMSA schedule.
We get the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship off to a flying start.
Unbelievable stuff.
That is awesome racing.
This championship is going to be fierce this year.
Go for it. Be aggressive.
It's going to be all about execution.
Some of the most challenging tarmac anywhere in the world of sports car racing.
Now, everybody's getting really excited, including me.
This is the meat of the season now, and this is where championships can be won and lost.
Some of the coolest, most exotic sports cars that you will see anywhere in the world.
Racing continues to heat up.
It is a hot one.
Now it's go time. Wow!
So special, so significant, you say, I just have to be there.
And we're ready to go racing.
All of us at IMSA are excited to kick off the 2021 IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship season with a full week of speed, combining the roar before the 24 and the Rolex 24 into a week-long celebration of sports car racing. Once again, our partners at the WEC and the ACO will join us for Super Sebring in March prior to our West Coast swing visiting Long Beach, and then head up the PCH to WeatherTech Raceway Laguna Seca. In May, we'll be heading back east with a stopover at Mid-Ohio, prior to back-to-back races with Watkins Glen International and Canadian Tire Motorsport Park. We'll take a short trip south then to Lime Rock Park, rounding out the month of July. In 2021, we'll once again return to the Kettle Moraine for Road America, the National Park of Speed, capping off the warm summer month of August at VIR. Concluding the 2021 championship season will be Motul Petit Le Mans at Michelin Raceway, Road Atlanta. The IMSA Michelin Endurance Cup returns to its traditional times and dates, starting off with the Rolex 24 and ending up with Motul Petit Le Mans at Michelin Raceway, Road Atlanta to close out the 2021 calendar. The DPI season schedule remains as traditional, again with the Rolex 24 and the Roar Before the 24 on back-to-back weekends, with one event in the middle of the season yet to be announced. For our GTLM competitors, you'll notice many traditional dates and many traditional venues, with an opportunity in the middle of the season for those competitors who focus on competing at the 24 Hours of Le Mans. For LMP2, much the same structure in 2021 as we had in the 2020 season, again with the Rolex 24 at Daytona remaining a standalone event separate from six IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship weekends. New for 2021 is the addition of LMP3 into the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship. Similar to LMP2, the LMP3 cars will be able to compete at the Rolex 24 at Daytona as a standalone event separate from the championship, but visiting other terrific high-level events like the Mobil 1 12 Hours of Sebring and capping off the season at Motul Petit Le Mans at Michelin Raceway Road Atlanta. You will notice in the GTD calendar for 2021 the reduction of one event off the calendar for the full IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship. That event, a visit to Canadian Tire Motorsport Park, is part of the IMSA WeatherTech Sprint Cup as a standalone heading into the new season. While many events and many dates are similar to what they normally would be in the 2021 calendar, there are many significant competition enhancements as we head into the new season. First up, a new championship points structure that will be adopted for the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship, the IMSA Michelin Pilot Challenge, and IMSA Prototype Challenge. In short, the championship structure will now award points 10 times their current amount. Points will be awarded from finishing positions 1 through 30. A partial example is shown on the screen. IMSA is pleased to announce for 2021 that qualifying points will be awarded. This will be applicable only to the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship, and points will be awarded for qualifying results in class from positions 1 through 30. DPI and GTLM's qualifying structure will remain the same and remain consistent with the 2020 regulations. Qualifying points will be awarded for the result. In LMP2, LMP3, and in GTD, a completely new qualifying structure will be put in place. The sessions will be split into two. The first segment will recognize the AM drivers who are qualifying to set the car's starting position in the field. A new set of tires will be used for this first segment, and the first segment tires from qualifying must be used to start the race. There will be an interval midway through the session. This will allow for a mandatory driver and tire change. In the second segment of the qualifying session, the second driver will be qualifying for championship points. A new set of tires will be used in the second segment, and for both segments, the tires used will be considered part of the team's event tire allocation. While much of the LMP2 class details remain the same for 2021, there is one major highlight. A maximum of one platinum driver is permitted to partner with mandatory bronze drivers in any race in the full 2021 IMSA WeatherTech Championship season. Also, a reminder, the Jim Truman Award eligibility allows a bronze LMP2 driver who places the highest in the season-long driver championship to receive his season-end award trophy, as well as an invitation to participate in the 2022 24 Hours of Le Mans. As mentioned previously, IMSA is excited to announce the introduction of the LMP3 class into the 2021 IMSA WeatherTech Championship season. Similar to LMP2, it will be a six-race championship throughout the season, with the Rolex 24 remaining a standalone event. Drivers must compete in the Rolex 24 at Daytona for IMSA Michelin Endurance Cup eligibility. Only new LMP3 cars and updated Evo cars will be allowed into LMP3 in the WeatherTech Championship. In addition to the details previously announced about LMP3 joining the WeatherTech Championship in 2021, IMSA is currently evaluating two options when it comes to the driver combination in LMP3. Option one has a minimum of one bronze driver. and a pro who may be silver or gold. In option two, the AM may be bronze or silver. In this case, the silver driver must be under the age of 25. In the pro, in option two, the driver may be silver or gold. In this case, the silver driver has to be age 25 or older on the day of their first participating IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship event in 2021. Platinum-rated drivers will be prohibited from competing in LMP3. In GTD, the 21 class details are as follows. A 10-race championship for the full season, the IMSA WeatherTech Sprint Cup featuring 8 races, with Canadian Tire Motorsport Park being confirmed earlier. And a reminder, in addition, the Bob Aiken Award will be awarded once again to the bronze or silver driver placing highest in the season-long IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship, earning an invitation to participate in the 2022 24 Hours of Le Mans. For 2021, the IMSA Michelin Pilot Challenge will return once again to some of its traditional venues on most of their traditional dates. Again, highlighted by a visit to the Roar before the 24 and the Rolex 24 weekend, back to back. Visits again to Watkins Glen for a 4-hour and followed immediately by a visit to Canadian Tire Motorsports Park the weekend following. The Michelin Pilot Challenge will finish up its 2021 championship at Michelin Raceway Road Atlanta on the Motul Petit Le Mans race event weekend. The 2021 IMSA Prototype Challenge provisional schedule highlights 6 rounds, starting off at the Roar before the 24 at Daytona, visiting Sebring International Raceway the weekend before the Mobile 1 12 Hours of Sebring, and once again concluding their season at Michelin Raceway Road Atlanta during the Petit Le Mans. IMSA Prototype Challenge, while LMP3 cars will be eligible in the WeatherTech Championship, retains its current structure. All races will be 1 hour and 45 minutes, and it will now have a 2-class structure. Class 1 will allow new LMP3 cars or updated Evo cars, and Class 2 will allow for one season only 2020 IMSA specification cars. The driver combinations will remain consistent with the 2020 regulations, and the season-end championship award program will be awarded exclusively to the P3 driver champion. In the coming weeks, updates and definitive schedules will be announced with our partners in Ferrari Challenge, Lamborghini Super Trofeo, and Porsche GT3 Cup Challenge USA, presented by Yokohama. Some key updates to mark on your calendar. The 2021 entry and application openings will start with driver applications opening on October 6th and 2021 entry and entrant applications opening on November 17th. IMSA will once again be hosting the 2021 Driver Combine. The Combine will take place at Michelin Raceway Road Atlanta, October 14 through 16. The Driver Combine is once again a one-stop shop for drivers to complete any and all of their 21 membership and annual credential requirements, which include their driver application, an impact test, and an opportunity for an annual physical. Walk out of that event with your 2021 driver annual credentials. Just as colorful as the Rolex 24 was to start off the 2020 season, IMSA is experiencing tremendous television viewership trends on NBC. Our social media engagements across all of our channels are at an all-time high at this point in the season. iRacing has become a critical part of our strategy overall. We are going to complete a full 2020 championship season. And while 2020 presented us with tremendous challenges, we were able to get back to business in a safe and efficient manner. While the season was challenging, it also has turned into a season of momentum. All of us at IMSA are incredibly excited to turn the corner into 2021 and continue to create tremendous value for our partners and tremendous opportunity for all of our participants. We wish you all the best, and we thank you for joining us today for the 2020 State of the Sport Address.
So that was John Doonan live here on IMSA Radio RS2. Shea Adam was listening to that. We'll have a more and more detailed chat on Midweek Motorsport over on RS1 later on. What I get from that, Shea, it is a lot more complication. I think we have to buy Jeremy a new calculator for the points, clearly. Right, so what we're looking at is something that looked very similar to this year's calendar before it all got put in the washer, which is, I think, good news.
Yes.
What I'm not seeing, or what I'm not quite understanding at the moment, and we did ask John Doonan for an interview here, but they haven't come back to us. So we're going to have to speculate. I don't understand some of the changes. I don't understand what questions were being answered there. The point system, I don't see that anybody had been asking questions about that in the paddock. I'm not sure that adding LMP3 into WeatherTech and then still keeping an LMP3 championship, I'm not sure anybody was asking for that, but it might work. It might bump a few cars up. But if it's only two or three cars, that's not going to work, is it? And still a couple of TBAs on the calendar as well. I can forgive them for that, given the current circumstances. What do you take away from that?
I like the calendar. That's sort of where I'm focusing my attention on first, because to be honest, there's a lot to wrap your head around all at once. The calendar going back to a sense of normality, I really appreciate that, especially after the year that we've had.
All provisional at the moment, of course, because we can't possibly say that that will happen.
No, correct. And that is the big thing. It's something to look forward to, which is something I've talked about quite
yes,
a bit during this
agreed.
Period of time, to get the little bit of excitement and anticipation going once again. I am disappointed to see that we are now going back to WeatherTech Raceway Laguna Seca in April once again, because the weather is, as Carol Brink will tell us over and over again, it's very different in April than it is in September. But that date reverting back to where it has been in the past is something interesting. And it does mean that we don't necessarily need to go back to the West Coast twice, which helps everybody out. If you're going to be racing at Long Beach, you can just stay out there. As John Doonan said, just take a quick trip up the highway. So it's not too bad. I'm very happy to see certain venues back on the calendar that I had been hearing whispers of were possibly not going to be, such as Long Beach. There is a TBA with Detroit, but to see that on there. And then, of course, the trip
TBA on the
north
date.
Across the border.
TBA on the
yes.
date for Detroit. So that suggests that perhaps Roger Penske and the Detroit Grand Prix is looking for a date at the moment. They've combined it with the auto show, haven't they, most
yeah.
recently. So there may be something there. It could also have to do with Le Mans as well, because it's normally either Le Mans test day or the week before Le Mans. Triple header from Watkins Glen onwards. So Watkins Glen up to Canada and back down to Lime Rock Park.
A week in between Canada and Lime Rock, there is an off weekend, so I do still get a little bit of cottage time in that one. But yes, that's going to be a difficult back-to-back to almost back for everybody competing. When you consider that the Watkins Glen round is an endurance race, you go up to Canadian Tire Motorsport Park, which is a difficult track mentally and physically, and yeah. then Lime Rock, which is always in the middle of the heat of the summer.
And you've got the border crossing there for the US-based teams. I kind of think it would almost have been better to come straight back down on consecutive weekends, because you're going to get a situation where a lot of teams are going to go, do we go back? Do we schlep all the way back to, you know, wherever you're based? If you're based in
yeah.
Florida, do you schlep all the way back and then drive back up again?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's the kind of thing that it could work really well for you. It could work really well against you. If you sustain crash damage in Watkins Glen, that then you can sort of put gaffer tape on and make it okay for Canadian Tire. But then you really should fix it before you get to Lime Rock. It gives you that benefit. But the other big thing that I'm noticing in looking at the calendar, we do not have GTLM running at Mid-Ohio, which is huge because they are a fan favorite at Mid-Ohio. And then we don't have them, of course, at Belle Isle, because that's preparation for Le Mans. GTD are running every single round of the championship, though, whether you're running the sprint, the endurance, or the full season, they're included at every venue, let's say. And then adding in LMP3 to the mix, and we've got LMP2, I'm not entirely sure how that's going to work out. I mean, LMP2 was a good car count at the beginning of the year, and then COVID-19 came into effect, and now we're down to two full season cars. But how many people are going to jump away from the LMP3 category and championship? Because we're already at 13 cars there. I don't know how that's going to play out. I'm an optimist. I hope it'll work well. But that part in the back of my brain tends to think that this is going to be like when we had LMP1, LMP2, and PC running in the American Le Mans Series. Not one of those classes was particularly strong in car counts.
And that's the thing. LMP2 was looking a lot better before COVID hit. LMP3 yes. are doing. I see the point of having LMP3 for the older cars, but you're asking people to choose between doing a WeatherTech race at 2 hours and 40 or a LMP3 prototype championship at 1 hour and 50.
And yes.
It'll come down to money, I suppose. But you can't. You really can't do both of those championships with one car. You just simply can't do it. So it might be nice to do some of the bigger events, but that would probably take you out of championship contention in the championship that you're doing. I just don't get it. I also, having seen what we had at Road Atlanta at the weekend with the closing speed, I'm not sure we need to add a fifth class. That will be the most classes of any of this type of racing. Listen, I know the Nürburgring, there's 20 million classes, but that means we're now going to have three prototype classes and two GT classes, all of them being at different speeds. And I mean, the guys in tech, in the technical department for IMSA, I give them a lot of credit. But getting that balance of performance so everybody's not tripping over each other, where do the LMPs even fit in there? Do they need to be quicker than GT Le Mans, but not as quick as GTD? Because right now, I'm not sure where they fit. And I'm just not sure what question that's answering.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Looking at the calendar, the Acura Grand Prix of Long Beach, and again, provisionally, assuming that everything happens and is allowed to happen by the middle of April, that's going to be DPI, GTLM, and GTD. That, and it's weird to say because it's a street race, that might be our cleanest race of the year because it's only going to be the three classes and they're
correct.
All right, their GTD isn't a pro class, but you've got the capable drivers who are used to those cars and used to the track. It's going to take a little bit of digesting to try and figure it all out, but I agree with you. It's going to be a big ask for the technical team to try and figure out that perfect closing speed for LMP3, because even when you look at the LMP2 lap times, the difference in drivers makes such a difference in how the car performs. So when you then add in a new category of car with a new category of driver, it is going to be a big challenge for next year.
Well, we'll have more comment on Midweek Motorsport. That's it. The calendar announcement is out. 10 times the number of points. It's going to do Jeremy's head in. And a new category of racing in the IMSA WSC with LMP3s added to the mix. It's going to be an interesting one. Let's hope we're there to cover it for you as we hope that we'll be a part of that. In 2021 here on IMSA Radio. Bye for now.
This program is a Radio Show Limited production.
Tell your friends there's more at RadioLeMans.com.